Loving what you're hearing? Make sure you're subscribed here on your favorite podcast app. Or there's even more waiting for you over on YouTube. On our channel, you'll get to see our fascinating guests demonstrate their techniques in real time. You'll see my animated explanation of complex health concepts made simple, plus all of those you had to be there moments that we mentioned in the show. The Coaching with Maddie episodes will be there too. We're also creating exclusive YouTube shorts, quick, powerful health tips you won't find anywhere else. And let's face it, if we're going to be doom scrolling, which we all do from time to time, you might as well make it worthwhile. Just search How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast on YouTube and hit subscribe to unlock the visual side of becoming a healthy friend of the show. Because sometimes you need to see it to believe it, and also to achieve it. The direct link is in the show notes below. Come and join our YouTube community. Welcome to episode 432. Do you self-sabotage? And by that I mean, do you keep doing things that you know aren't good for you when in reality you actually do know what to do, but you're not doing it and you don't really know why? If you just nodded, then today I'm going to explain to you why you self-sabotage so that hopefully you're more capable of changing into whatever version of yourself you'd like for the better. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? What a topic we've got today, which I think every single human can relate to. I definitely can, and I learned how to do this. Dragging myself through the mud, rolling around, kicking and screaming, like I was a big mess. But it's how I got to this place where I could create this podcast and work with all of the amazing humans that I do, because self-sabotage is often at the core of the work that I do, of which it's my mission to coach 500 people to achieve real weight loss. And we do it without calorie counting, embarrassing weigh-ins, or a forbidden food list. And in case you're wondering, what do I mean by real weight loss? I mean, we go much deeper than just burning body fat so that you can finally stop self-sabotaging so that you don't end up overweight again in just a few months. If that sounds like what you're after, then the link to inquire about what we do and how we do it is in the show notes or the caption below. So scroll down, click, let's have a chat. So when I'm talking about self-sabotaging, I'm really talking about, you know, literally everything that in your life that you do that's unhelpful. Is it snacking? Is it sugar? Is it going to the gym? Is it moving? Is it hiking? Is it fighting with your partner that you do over and over again? That's a really common relationship thing. There's a self-sabotage cycle with partners. Do you always attract partners that have certain types of deficiencies or chaos going on, right? Or is it a job? You're always someone that has problems with work. You know, there's these patterns in our life, food, partners, humans, jobs, all of it, kids, the whole lot, right? Because if we don't take responsibility for being either the source of that problem or being a major player in that problem, then we're never going to solve any problem. So the thing that I want you to understand first and foremost is the why, which is what today's episode is about. Why do I self-sabotage? And this includes me. We will find layers and layers and layers of self-sabotage throughout our life because there's always a new layer of the onion to peel and there's always a ceiling that we hit, you know, at that level of self-development or evolution or enlightenment or whatever you want to call it, right? So let's look at why. This is my understanding from my own personal work, my own study into personal development and being a coach and being all of the things that I do now, and also working with heaps of people. So this is where I'm at with my understanding. So we self-sabotage because our mind and nervous system knows that if we continue on this cycle, that we're going to be safe. And by safe, I mean that it's not always, and in fact rarely is, a logical version of safety. And this is where it can get confusing because what we're trying to create within our body and our mind is this sense of safety. But in reality, we might logically know, hey, this isn't particularly safe. And you might be thinking right now, Maddie, the self-sabotage stuff I do isn't safe. You know, I eat shit or I fight with my partner all the time or I attract violent people into my life, whatever it is, you know. And so the thing is, though, that what we perceive to get from these unhelpful patterns could also be described as familiarity, which is that this is familiar to me. This pattern of events, this cycle of events is highly familiar to me. And so I recreate it because familiarity breeds a sense of safety. Because if you think about it like this, better the devil I know than the one that I don't. And when we feel familiar, we feel a version of that safety because doing other things feels unfamiliar. And as such, that's the devil we don't know, right? And in our nervous system, feels unsafe. And when even if it's something that's healthy for us or good for us, or we're putting a boundary in place to protect ourselves, our nervous system has been conditioned on a life of problems, challenges, traumas, insults, violations, abuse, right? And so we've got our normal familiar level of nervous system activation. And even if we move into a better situation where we're making smarter decisions, we're looking after our health, we're protecting ourselves, our own nervous system can go from normal and familiar, which isn't necessarily healthy, but normal and familiar to us, and actually go into a state of alertness and protection and bracing patterns that are like, oh, there's a problem here. And this is when we've just stepped a little too far out of our comfort zone and our nervous system is kind of in panic because this is the devil we don't know. We don't know what's going to go on out here. This is unfamiliar. This is unsafe. And then what that does is it begins to introduce another aspect, which we're going to get into as well. But what we're doing here is we essentially normalize a particular state or level of activation in our nervous system, whether it's conscious or unconscious, whether it's in our body and we feel certain parts of our body light up and tingle and fire up or feel sick or something like that, or we feel it in our head where we're overthinking and analyzing and that kind of thing. We're activating the nervous system, the brain and all the nerves that go throughout our body, which is why often we can associate stress and limiting beliefs and traumas with different organs and parts of the body because your nervous system runs through your entire body, right? It's not just your brain. There's millions of nerves that run throughout your body. And all of this is part of what I'm talking about. This is the state in which we live in, right? And if we do this for a long time, the unhealthy activation, I mean, the traumatized stuff, the limiting belief stuff, that's our normal. So any deviation from that to more chaotic or even less chaotic is a step away from our normal and familiar. And so therefore, we fear it because we're fearing the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't feel like us. But I said before, there's another aspect. And the other aspect is the mind. And here we're talking about the thinking brain, the belief systems, right? The what is right for me, our perception of self. And some people, for instance, don't see themselves as a healthy person. Some people see themselves as a healthy person. Some people don't see themselves as a rich person. Some people do, okay? And this is why belief systems are really important and why affirmations are often centered around saying the belief or idea about yourself that you don't actually believe. You know, I am beautiful. I am healthy. And there's a whole conversation to get into about, you know, saying things that you don't actually believe. And that's a conversation for another day. But the point is here, we're dealing with these beliefs that are going on within ourselves. And so you may not believe that you're a particular person, right? And for that reason, every time you step out of your comfort zone or move towards a behavior pattern or cycle or decision or boundary or food that doesn't match with your self-identity or the way that you see yourself, you might trigger a self-sabotage cycle, which is just going back to the familiar, going back to a set of beliefs which you believe are true. Because what happens is when you step out of that comfort zone and you move away from those beliefs, is you can trigger a sense of imposter syndrome or a fraudulent sense of self. So our mind basically defaults to the person it believes you to be. The person you believe you are is where we go back to. And this is the cycle of self-sabotage. People say, I want good things, so I'm going to step out of the box, and then I step backwards into the old box because I felt unsafe, unaware, unfamiliar, you know, and I was activated or scared, my nervous system was triggered, or my beliefs felt challenged to a point that I didn't recognize myself. And that's often a sign that we've taken a leap that's too big. Because if we behave out of character, we feel a sense of loss. We feel lost and not ourselves. And one way to think about that is that think about a situation, maybe a public situation where friends or family or colleagues saw you behave in a certain way and it was totally out of character. You blew up or you exploded or you flipped the table or whatever. And everyone was like, whoa. And even you were like, whoa, that was so not me. Why did I do that? And you feel this deep sense of shame and embarrassment, right? And that is the sense of being disconnected from who you really are, right? You feel lost and not yourself. And people might even explain to other people, I don't know why I did that. I just wasn't myself. This is sort of a more tangible or physical example of trying to remember a time where you felt in your body like not yourself. And so what do you do there? You apologize to everyone and you go back to being who you used to be. This is a normal protection mechanism because, again, we feel unsafe, out of control, danger, in danger, when we're stepping out of our perceived sense of self or the way that we identify to ourselves. And all of this to say that it comes with the stepping out of the comfort zone and changing your beliefs and your perception of self is challenging work. And the reason that it's challenging is because this is part of the risk, is that you step out and you have to actually step out into this inherent risky space and sit in this place of a lack of familiarity, a lack of predictability. And in this unfamiliar territory, it feels unsafe, which is why I'm all about one tweak a week. Baby steps, small, small incremental steps, because you cannot destabilize your sense of self or your perceived sense of safety in a big way, because that's what happens. That's the self-sabotage cycle. It's why I'm so against fad diets. They encourage you to take an enormous leap out of the comfort zone and you slingshot back, which is why we do things very differently by working on your mind, your emotions, your heart, your connection, trauma if it's necessary, right? And so the point is that what we want to do is taking those small steps is we want to actually make this new space feel familiar, and you want to find yourself there. You want to feel a sense of being found, because if you're out there in the unfamiliar feeling lost, you are not found. And it's only when you find yourself there that you can adopt the beliefs that are in that space or the nervous system activation that is normal within that space, right? And so that's why it's small steps, because we can't change too much. We can't destabilize the system. And in theory, we can make big leaps. And often we see big leaps happen with belief transformation, perception, whatever it is, but they're rare. And they're rare. They're in situations where someone's died, you've had a devastating diagnosis, something awful has happened that has shocked you into this adoption of a new identity, but it's rare. And a lot of people bank on that happening. They're like, oh, I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll just be different. It just doesn't happen. I've worked with loads of cancer patients from a nutritional perspective that have reached out and joined the work that we do simply because even a cancer diagnosis wasn't enough to scare them into behavior change with their food. And their food choices were mostly terrible. And arguably, I can't state this as a fact, but arguably a part of their diagnosis, or at least how quickly it happened, right? So this is why we need to take small steps to belief transformation and normalizing a change in our nervous system activation. Not only that, intentionally practicing this is the fastest way to actually make the change. Intentionally taking baby steps. It doesn't sound fast at all, right? But that's the fastest way to make the unfamiliar familiar. Because if we only try something new when sort of we're in the insecurity or the heavy emotion that causes the self-sabotage cycle to go around, then guess what? We're going to be back where we started, right? So if that cycle initiates and the only time we're practicing the new skill is there, then we're screwed. And think about it like this. It's like trying to prepare for a boxing match and at the fight in the ring rather than in the gym in the months prior. It's the same if you're somebody that's working on anger issues, which is another self-sabotage cycle, right? Is that if you wait until you're angry again, what? The car's already out of control. This is a bad time to practice defensive driving. Do you know what I mean? So we have to do it in small increments, because getting familiar with a calmer, more stable nervous system is one thing. And also being able to self-perceive yourself as somebody that handles things well, that makes good choices, right? This is the challenge. And the way fundamentally, which underpins all of this, that we need to do to actually change is the needs that we were having met before, which is feeling familiar and feeling like we are the person that we say we are. We need to meet those needs in another way, because the self-sabotage cycle happens because we have unmet needs that have been met for a long time, and all of a sudden they're not met. And so we need to go back and meet them, which is why restrictive diets don't work, which is why sometimes just cutting out the toxic partner doesn't work, because you're just going to go find another toxic partner. You're just going to go pick a fight with somebody else. You're just going to have a problem with authority at another job. You're just going to binge eat chocolate again in 3 days, right? So we need to do it progressively over time, some baby steps over time out of the comfort zone. We need to meet those needs in another way that is helpful and constructive at the same time as progressively transforming your sense of self, your sense of identity, your self-perception of who you are and what you embody. And only then can we eventually, at weeks, months, or years in the future, arrive and one day look in the mirror and think, oh, I am that person. Because heading towards a destination at 1,000,000 miles an hour in health at least, it's very rare that people end up there, right? You've got to enjoy the journey, go along the path, take the steps in order to finally and eventually realize, again, this sense of being found. Find yourself there and be like, whoa, I am that person. And actually, I've been that person for a while. And it has to happen like that, because if you're too abrupt or major in the steps you take, the self-sabotage cycle continues. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, share it on your social media, share it with anybody in your life that you see needs help with going on these cycles of ruining their own life in small ways or big ways. And I wouldn't be here if I wasn't one of the people that perpetually made extremely poor decisions, irrelevant of my, you know, whoever's fault it was once upon a time or who traumatized me or any of that. At some point, we have to take responsibility for our own lives. And I'm hopeful that this episode can help you do that. So anyone that has been where I've been or is somewhere else that you're not happy with it, send this episode to them or share it on social media, give me a tag, and we will catch you on the next episode. Bye for now. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.